Okay, if you'd like to take a seat, because we've now got one of a few talks from Paul, and this one is called Dare to Dream, the Four Beasts. Paul, are you okay if we sort of sit down here?
So any children there that have got, particularly those that have been colouring in for me, can you come up with your colouring in sheets now? You might be able to get your colouring in sheets. That'd be fantastic. Okay, take a seat. Try and Beth, could you sit near a candle? Fantastic. Right, now before we start, we'll talk about early on about dreams. So why not just turn to someone next to you? It could be someone that you know, or maybe someone you don't know, and either tell them about an interesting dream you've had recently, you know, like at night time. My daughter does this every day, so she's always telling us what dreams she's had. Or secondly, tell the person something you're dreaming about having in the future, or experiencing in the future. So just turn to someone near you, and just share that very quickly, an interesting dream you've had, or something you're dreaming about having in the future. Okay, some of you are really getting into that, so we need to stop at some point. We might want to carry on that conversation afterwards. Does anyone want to share one of the things they're dreaming about?
My dream for the future is that we have a railway network that actually works.
Okay, that's something great to dream for. Any other dreams either you've had at night or something you're dreaming about having?
Spider-Man.
They both dream there's one. Okay, that's interesting. we'll do a psychological analysis of that. anyone else want to share very quickly a dream? No, you're too shy to share the public. That's fair enough. We do have some very weird dreams, though, sometimes, don't we? And sometimes they can be quite scary, like kind of nightmares. Do you want to share one? Okay, yeah, that's a very scary dream, isn't it? Yes. Mummy's still here, so there's no tiger. Yeah, tigers are very scary. Okay, now, we're going to think about a dream that Daniel had. And in this dream, he says there was a sea. So this, you're wondering why there's a box and a towel over it. This is the sea, okay? And in the Bible, sea often is a sort of picture of all the different nations fighting, beating each other up and everything else. It's also like the chaos of our world. Out of the sea came four terrifying beasts, a bit like the tiger that Esme just mentioned. Sorry, Annabella, I keep getting your names mixed up, sorry about that. Twice done that. Anyway, so, and the first of these four beasts was a... Anyone tell me what this is? Coming out of the sea?
A lion!
A lion, yes, okay. Alice, don't hold the lion. Right, but it wasn't just a lion. Attached to the lion were two eagle's wings. Who's got the eagle's wings? Do you want to come up here? Do you want to bring them up? And we'll attach them to the lion. This is a... trying to staple you out. I haven't really tried this before, so... Oh! Thank you, Joshua. He's a beautifully coloured ear, by the way. There you go, that's one. So I'm trying to stay with you. There you go, two. Okay, there you go. There's a lion with two eagle wings. I'm not sure it's particularly well done, but there you go. So that's the first tree. And a lot of people say that this was probably referring to the Babylonian Empire. So you remember at the beginning we talked about Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of the Babylonians? This was a bit later on. He had died and his grandson or great-grandson was on the throne. And the Babylonian Empire was coming towards its end. But it was often seen as being shown to be a lion, a powerful one. Just like, you know, when we talk about the England football team, we talk about three lions on the shirt. It's a symbol of the England team. The lion was a symbol of the Babylonian Empire. But that was the first beast. And after the first beast, out of the sea came a second beast. You want to guess what the second beast was? Yeah? A Jaguar, good guess, no? Not a snake, not had a lion already. A leopard, no, not a leopard, becomes a leopard. Not an eagle, not a cheetah. It was a bear, yes, he got lots of really hot and worrying things. And this bear had something in its teeth. Who's got the ribs? Okay, right. We got one thing to stick on this time. Do you want to hold the ribs there? Here's his teeth. Okay, do you want to hold that? Okay, so the bear had some ribs in his teeth. And we think the bear probably referred to the Persian Empire, which came after the Babylonian Empire. And the three ribs, we think, referred to the three big kingdoms that the Persians defeated, which were the Babylonians, the Lydians, and the Egyptians. So that's probably what the symbol says. Now, what do you think next? Any ideas? Not a snake, king of snakes here. Not a tiger. Almost a cheetah. Yeah. Hannibal. Not a jaguar. You can say jaguar. If you can know a big cat. Not a jaguar, it's actually a leopard. A leopard. There you go. And this leopard had four heads. So who's got the leopard heads? Okay, so can you hold that head, man? Right, let's try and stick on four heads. We've got one already, so. One, another head. We'll stick up there. Two. Three, one below that. Who wants to hold that? Yeah. Okay, so three great beasts. The lion, which is probably the Babylonians, the bear, which is the Persians, and the leopard, which is probably the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great. The reason they had four heads was because after Alexander the Great died, the four generals took over and each took part of the empire for themselves. It probably shows that. And then there was a fourth beast. What? You just looked at the box. Okay, now the fourth beast. Actually, in the Bible, it doesn't say what the beast was. It's really weird. It says, all it says is it had steel teeth. So there's a sense of real mystery about this. But so it's not. In the sense that, although these are like warped parts of creation, like a lion with wings, that's strange, and a bear with ribs in its mouth, and a leopard with lots of heads. That's a bit warped nature. This one wasn't even natural. It was steel teeth. So I've chosen a robot. Who wants to hold the robot? So, we're not sure what the robot meant, because it's mysterious. Maybe it was meant to be a sort of mystery. Maybe it's sort of an empire of the future of some kind. But some people link it with the Roman Empire that came even after the Greeks. So all these empires coming out of the sea. And Daniel dreamed about them, but actually dreamed that they wouldn't last. The great roaring lion that seemed so scary wouldn't last. It would be replaced by the bear, that also seemed scary, but that wouldn't last. It would be replaced by the leopard, that seemed scary, that wouldn't last. Maybe it would be replaced by something else, whatever it is, and that wouldn't last. These great empires that seemed so powerful, seemed so controlling, seemed to come and go very quickly. And they're beastly as well. So there's a sense in which when people come into power or control, they're acting not humanly or humanely, but they're acting like beasts. They're not acting out of kindness or care for people. A lion's not interested in being kind to you. A lion just wants to eat you. Like a bear, it's not interested in being kind to you, it just wants to eat you. And the leopards and robot, they're not a robot. There's a sense in which all of these are beasts. They want to conquer, they want to devour, they want to take over more and more control and get more and more things for themselves. Actually, when we think about our world, there's still empires around, isn't there? Aren't there? That seem to want to control. We can think about Russia invading Ukraine, wanting to control more and more power for themselves and get more for themselves. We can think about our recent history, or some of you would be around, probably as children, when Nazi Germany tried to take over all of Europe and try to conquer Europe. These beastly powers trying to get control of themselves. actually, even in our own society today, there's ideas, there's companies that want to control us, want to get power over us, that don't really care about us, they just want things for themselves. And actually, some people are beginning to say that the whole smartphone and social media is all about not helping us, it's about trying to get control of our attention, so that you get control of our money and other things. A lot about human society becomes beastly, wanting to devour, wanting to have more and more. But it won't last. These things come and they go. They're not what matters eternally. And we need to resist them. People in the Second World War resisted Hitler. One of the church leaders in Germany who resisted Hitler was a guy called Bonhoeffer. And he refused to let his church be changed so that they taught in line with what the Nazis were teaching. And in the end, he was killed for his efforts. But also maybe we need to resist today some of the pressures to be distracted all the time by looking at social media and our phones. Maybe we need to resist that control over us so we can better serve God. And Jesus, when he was talking, says this, "Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life." I'm not quite sure what dissipation means, actually, but the... But actually, we need to be careful. We need to resist certain things in life so we're ready for Jesus and the greater kingdom that's coming. The kingdom is not beastly, but actually is truly human. And we're going to think a bit more about that in a moment. So thank you very much for you. Let's put these down for a moment. Let's put these up. Trickle them around the pocket over here. And we're going to sing our next song. So do you want to stand? The song encourages us not to follow the beast, but to trust in God. So in the reading, we talk about the horn. That was part of the fourth beast. And it's like a re-arrogant, probably ruler of the beasts of the empire. And it says that that beast was destroyed when the Ancient of Days comes. That's when God's throne comes. And God is above all these beasts, all his powers. And God is in control of it all. And God judges the beasts and destroys them. That beast is gone. But then, because this is all part of Daniel's dream. It's a weird dream, isn't it? It's all part of Daniel's dream. Then he says something else comes. Anyone remember what else comes? What comes next? After the beast comes the Son of Man. Yes, I can bring this thing. The Son of Man. And the Son of Man doesn't come out of the sea. The Son of Man comes from heaven. And he comes before the throne of God. And he's given power by God. And this is a picture of God's kingdom. Remember in the first dream, earlier on we talked about, there were four parts of the statue, and then replaced by a big mountain. Well, they were like four parts, four beasts in the dream. But now they're replaced by the Son of Man. So I want to think about the Son of Man, and there's three things I want to think about. So you've got three more pictures up here, hopefully. I see two of them, that's good. Okay, so first, the Son of Man. The first thing to say is that the Son of Man comes from heaven. So who's got the cloud? Alice? Well done. Going to come here? Put the cloud. This is a very colourful cloud. Wow. Like an ice cream cloud. Oops. There we go. So the cloud shows that he's coming from heaven. He's not coming out of the sea like the beast. He's not from all the chaos and the wickedness and the evil of humanity. He comes from God. And actually in our world, sometimes we look and hope and dream for a better world, whether it's the railways working or something more important. But we know that actually our world keeps messing up. Things can get better for a time and they get worse again. And good people seem to have control, and wicked people take over. And even the good people often tend to bring bad things in. What we need is something from outside our lives. Something from God who's good. And so Jesus, or the Son of Man, who Jesus calls himself, comes in Daniel's dream in the clouds. He comes from heaven to offer something better. Something better than all the chaos that comes out of the world. Okay, next we have the cross. Who's got the cross? Ah, brilliant. Annabella? Okay. And what's different about this kingdom is that it's human, it's not beastly. Do you remember I said that the beastly kingdom is all about devouring, just like lions and tigers and bears and devour people and things? Well, this is the Son of Man. He's actually living out as humans are meant to live, made in the image of God, not to devour everything, but to help people, to serve people, to love people. And Jesus said he was the Son of Man. And he said that the Son of Man comes not to be served, not like all those other rulers, he says, who come and want to be have everyone serving them and doing things for them. The Son of Man comes not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. It says that in Mark 10:45. And Jesus did that by dying on the cross for us. It shows that he really loves us, he really cares for us. This is different to any other kind of ruler, different to any other kind of kingdom. This is the kingdom of the Son of Man, not the kingdom of the beasts. Not looking for service for itself, but service of others. And the last one is the crown. So it says that the Ancient of Days gives the Son of Man power and authority, and his kingdom is an eternal kingdom. It's an everlasting kingdom. It's not going to be a short-term fix. This is going to last forever. This is going to make an eternal difference. This can give us real hope that the final future of the world is a good future, because God is the Son of Man. God sends the Son of Man to rule rather than all the beastly ways that our world is ruled by today. And so the question is, will we resist the beast and look and wait for the Son of Man? That's what Advent's about. It's about looking and waiting and hoping for the kingdom of the Son of Man and looking for the better future, looking forward to the better future that God wants to bring. Do we dare to dream of that future, of God's future? And do it as we dare to dream, are we daring to be ready for it? Jesus says, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen to the power of the beast, and you may be able to stand before the Son of Man, to actually be a part of his kingdom in the end and forevermore, to know God's gift of eternal life. So will we hold on to faith throughout all our lives? For some of you, that's a long time, hopefully. Some of you, that may not be very long. But will we hold on to God and to his kingdom and look forward to the better kingdom and dream of the better kingdom that he's going to bring? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your kingdom is the truly humane kingdom, that your kingdom is a kingdom where you serve us, a kingdom from heaven, and a kingdom that will last forevermore. Help us to hold on to that hope and to resist the powers of the beastly parts of our world. Amen.